Thank you, guys. I don't know if you guys noticed, but today was, I think, one of the first times that all three worship leaders were worshiping, huh? And so, on stage, that is, right? And Nate was playing the drums, right? He did that very beautifully. Why this guy's not married, I don't know, man, you know? If you've ever seen the our Solomon's Porch kind of CD brochure, it's quite sad when you look inside, right? There's a picture of me and my wife with our little baby, so happy family. Pastor Sam Kim and his wife and little Micah, happy family. And Nate all by himself. All right, let's change that, huh? Amen? All right. Let's turn to Psalm 29. Psalm chapter 29. If you need a Bible, one of our ushers will come and gladly hand one to you. Just lift your hand in the air real briefly and they'll come around. Okay, you ready? Psalm chapter 29. Let's go to verse 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. And he makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everything says glory. Let's pray, huh? Lord, we just thank you, God, that, Lord, your voice, God, thunders over the waters, Lord God. Lord, and our desire as we come today, Lord, is to hear your voice. God, our desire today, God, is to learn, God, how to walk in intimacy with you, God, and how to draw near so much so, God, that we can hear the voice, God, of your heart. And so be with us today, God. We ask you to bless the word. God, right now in this room, release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today. God, we thank you, we bless you. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 Today, the title of my message today is Hearing God's Voice. And I don't think I've ever, in a message setting in this way, taught at church, you know, on this very thing. And most of my material actually comes from Lauren Cunningham's book. You know, when I was in Hong Kong back in 1992, I went back home, and some of the missionaries that we're working with, you know, Jimmy, you remember Karen, right? You know, she's a tennis player, played basketball in college in the States, and she gave me a list of books that I should. I asked her before I left. I said, hey, you know, what should I be reading? You know, I've got this newfound faith in God. You know, is there anything I should be reading? And she gave me a list of a stack of, and she some books as well. And one of the books she gave me is this tiny little book. Well, it's not that tiny, but really simple read. It's called simply, you got to correct me, all you YWAMers, if I get it wrong. Is it God, is that really you, or Lord, is that really you, God? Okay, is that really you, God, right? I always get it mixed up either way. That's how important the book was to me. And so I got this book, and I was reading it, and it was actually getting close to the winter, you know, as I'd come back. It was probably in September during this time. And I was so captivated by this book. I was reading it during the day. I actually skipped one of my classes because I just kept reading the book. And then I would go to, you know, dinner, and I was reading the book. And then I went to sit in the bleachers at the baseball stadium, you know, on our campus, because the book was so intriguing. And I remember as I was reading the book and I finished the book and I was sitting on the bleachers and I was wearing shorts and a T-shirt. I was freezing, you know, but I just started weeping. I don't know why. I just started crying. It was just uncontrollable tears started flowing down my face. Because of this simple fact, you know, to recognize that God speaks to his people. You know, and that just blew my mind away. You know, and previously I had had a few experiences, you know, where I could say, yeah, I think God spoke to me. But I always assumed that there were very special moments in a person's life. But after reading that book, I recognized it was normative Christianity, right? Let me say that again. It was normal Christian experience to hear God's voice. In other words, you as a child of God, God being God, you have a right, you have a gift, you have a duty, in a sense. I didn't want to use the word duty, but you have a God-given right to hear his voice. Right? Because that's what relationship is really all about. All right, turn your Bible to John chapter 10. I'm gonna warn you a little bit today. I'm gonna make you guys a little bit uncomfortable today, right? And I'm gonna do that deliberately. I couldn't go to sleep last night thinking about it, you know, because you know I'm a pastor, you know what I mean? You know, I want to be nice, you know. I want everyone to like me, and you know, I want especially, you know, there's new people here at church, and I don't want to freak them out, you know, and stuff, because you know I would like to see them back. You know, and these kind of things. And so I was really, you know, tossing and turning and praying, just thinking, God, you know, do we really want to do this thing? You know, and of course, you know, because hearing God's voice, I had to hear his voice, and I just felt very affirmatively. So I'm going to make you a little bit uncomfortable, right? But, you know, looking, I was thinking about it, that's my job. You know what I mean? You know, there's a phrase that we, you know, a lot of pastors use or people use, right? You comfort the afflicted and you afflict the comforted. Right, and that's pretty much a job as a pastor in that way. Not to say that you're comforted or anything like that, you know, or you're comfortable, you know. But you have to understand, in this day and age that we live in, it is an absolute necessity that we hear God in our lives. You know what I mean? I mean, think about all the decisions that we're making in our lives, and kind of our church is quite young, right? I mean, you know, in terms of our median age, we're pretty young, which is good in a lot of ways, bad in some other ways as well, you know. And so that's why we need some more old people to come to church, right? And so you got old friends, you bring them to church. In any case, and so, but in your age that you're living in right now, you're making some serious decisions. I mean, some huge decisions, you know, and I mean, we're not even talking about relationships. And I mean, that's a whole, you know, message in itself, you know, but we're talking about your life choices that you're making right now. You know, I tell you, most of the times, as a pastor, I get these emergency 911 phone calls. Pastor Sam, I need to meet you tomorrow. You know, Pastor Sam, can we meet this week? You know, and that's just part of, you know, being a pastor. And I enjoy, you know, those type of moments. You know, and you know what? It's always the case. You know, and you think it's some kind of crisis. It's really not a crisis. You know, it's really about what job should I take? You know, or, you know, what should I do? You know, kind of thing. And, you know, I have to get over my pride, right? And stuff, because at first, you know, my initial thing is, well, you should have come to me first. You know, I would have saved you months of headache, but you come to me last, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, I have to swallow my pride, right? Because, I mean, I don't really have the answers either. I'm just trying to talk people through these things. You know, but it's these incredible decisions in your profession, in your vocation. You know, you guys made a big decision just a little bit while ago about what school to go to. That has shaped your life. You know, and some of you guys made a decision to come to Hong Kong, you know, that has really shaped your life even more. And then you'll continue to make these kind of decisions, you know. And now, you know, living in such a global age, you know, it's not like now it's not just we choose our job. We got to choose our job and we got to choose the place where we live at the same time. You know, and you know, when I was younger, kind of your age, I never had to think about those kind of things. You know, I never even thought about moving outside of California. You know, but these are a lot of decisions that we make, you know, a lot of times on a daily, monthly basis. You know, we need to hear God's voice, right? See, and don't misunderstand, right? God wants to bless you, right? There's something called God's will. God's will is perfect. How many of you guys want what's perfect? Right? Well, I mean, we all want, right? How many of you guys want God's best? Right? How many of you guys want to just settle for what's good? Right? That's good enough. That job's good enough. That looks good. I'll take that job, you know. Or, oh, that guy's good enough. I'll marry that guy, you know. Or that girl, she's all right. I'll marry her, you know. I mean, no one wants just what's good. We want God's best. How do you find God's best, right? It's coming through hearing his voice, right? We begin to recognize the will that God has for us, you know. And I mean, we really need the discernment in this day and age, you know. And I'll tell you, to start off this whole thing, you have already heard God's voice in your life. You've already heard it. Some of you are maybe not even Christians here, and this could be the first time at church, but I want to tell you, you've already heard God's voice. You're here today. This is an act of God, right? You know, sure, maybe your friend bugged you and twisted your arm and bought you lunch and dinner, you know, for the rest of your life, and, you know, to bring you to this place, right? But ultimately, you know, you may think you've succumbed to your friend's voice. You actually succumbed to God's voice, right? God was just working through that friend, you know, or whatever the case may be. But you've already heard his voice. And so I'm going to kind of expand on this a little bit more. Well, let's go to John 10. Verse 3 and 4. We're going to stay in John 10 for a little bit. And it says, to him, okay, John 10, 3 and 4. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Let's go to John 10, 14 to 18. It says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one has taken away from me. I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. Now turn to verse 27 right down there. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Right? This is a kind of a scenario, right? An image that Jesus and a lot of other people throughout the scriptures have used, the image of the shepherd and the sheep. Right, the shepherd meaning God, right? Jesus, whoever, you know, Holy Spirit or whatever, and the sheep are us. You know, I think I shared a long time ago about the tendencies of sheep, right? And it probably begs, you know, to go through it again. You know, sheep, according to zoology? Or who studies animals, right? Is that a zoologist or, you know, one of those guys, right? One of those ologists guys. But, sheep, you know, there's three distinct characteristics about sheep. Number one, sheep are considered one of the dumbest animals on the face of the planet. This is true. I don't know how they track this. You know what the IQ of a sheep is? 8. 8, right? That's like one level above being brain dead, right? 8. That's the IQ of sheep. What does God call us? You're my sheep, right? You know what else? Sheep are also considered to be some of the most laziest animals on the face of the planet. You know, one of the number one causes of death among sheep, you know what it is? Over-indigestion. In other words, they actually eat themselves to death. You know, you put them out in the field and the sheep will eat and eat and eat and eat. They won't stop, right? They're just lazy animals. What does God call us? His sheep. Another aspect of sheep, the third aspect is sheep are incredibly short-sighted. In other words, they can only see what's right in front of them. That's why if you ever seen sheep run around or something, you'll notice a very odd phenomenon occur. Whenever sheep are moving along, you'll have one sheep there, and the other sheep will stick his nose right up the other guy's anus, right? That's how they move in flocks. Why? Because they can't see. You know, that's why it's important for the shepherd, right, to come alongside and care for them, because sheep will literally walk over the edge of the cliff. And because they're so stupid, right, one sheep goes over, the other sheep will follow right alongside and go over as well. They're incredibly short-sighted. What does God call us? Right? His sheep. Obviously, you know, I mean, this is just illustration, right? It doesn't mean you're dumb, lazy, and short-sighted. You may be, right? But that's not the point of this message here. It's not to make you guys feel bad or anything like that. You know, but just to give you an idea, and I think what the writers are trying to say, he's not trying to say we're lazy, dumb, and all these things. What the writer is trying to say is that we are totally dependent on the shepherd. All right? I mean, we are absolutely dependent on the shepherd. Can I tell you, you are absolutely dependent on God for your sustenance in your life, for strength, for direction, right? And we should be, in this way, like sheep. You know, we should be totally dependent on the shepherd. The moment we get outside of dependency, we run into trouble. Is this happening in anyone's life? Right? It happens in my life all the time, Right? The moment I rely on my own devices, the moment I rely on my own strengths, you know, or my own wisdom, I always run into trouble. You know, and it takes me time to say, okay, God, here, I'm going to follow you. You know, I've lived my life in this way. I've gotten nowhere. You know, let me try your way for a bit. You know, and finding out that his way is the way to be prosperous and to be successful, right, and to be whole in our lives. You know, hearing the voice of God is the basic right of every child of God. We are his sheep, and we need to be led, every single one of us. You know, and I'll tell you, don't make guidance difficult and complicated. It really isn't. Right? It's actually hard not to hear God if you really want to please and obey him. All right? He says if you stay humble, he promises to guide you. You know, and I'm telling you, there's something about the voice of God. You know, I was speaking at our church retreat, and I had spent the week on teaching on hearing God's voice. You know, and you know what that did to the students that were there? You know, because see, in some ways, and many of us may be guilty of this, we have this idea that God is very far away. You know, God's up there and I'm down here. We also have this kind of insane idea that God is not really interested in our lives. You know, he's got bigger things to worry about. You know, we also have this idea, you know, that God is kind of, you know, concerned really with other people, you know, like more important people, you know, guys like Billy Graham and guys like that, or guys that are, you know, women that are really, really spiritual, you know, I mean, that pray 10 hours a day. God's concerned with them, but I don't do that, so God's not so concerned with me. Maybe he's concerned about Pastor Sam and other pastors, but I'm just a guy that goes to church, you know. Is God really concerned about me? And then when people start hearing God's voice, and God begins to kind of break through that kind of we would basically say a lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And once it begins to break through that, all of a sudden you realize, oh, God, you're actually not very far off. That you're actually right here. And I'm actually special because you talk to me. And you talk to someone else regarding me. You know, that means you must know about the intricate details of my life. You know, and so when we were at this camp and we started practicing God's voice, you know, and practicing listening and basically giving God an opportunity to speak to us. You know why a lot of times God wants to speak to you? You know why you don't hear? Because you never give God an opportunity. You pray and you just list out your whole agenda and then, okay, amen, bye, and you're gone. And God's, well, I wanted to tell you something, but you just left. You know what I mean? I mean, I find that happen a lot of times in my life, right? I have such a prayer agenda. Yeah, I got to pray for this, that, you know, and I should have just stopped and just listened for a bit, you know, and then I probably wouldn't have to pray as much as I do. You know what I mean? If I would just listen to what he has to say. You know, he's giving me the remedy and the answer to my prayers, but I'm so busy, you know, I'm praying and I'm out of here. And God wants to say something, but I just don't give him the opportunity to speak into my life, you know, and that becomes so true, you know. And these students, they started hearing, and something began to happen in their life. Faith began to grow. They realized that they weren't these insignificant people. You know, I was at a church service one time, and we're actually in 1995. I was bringing my youth group to come to Hong Kong. You know, and it was a really a special time. I mean, you know, I think we had like 10 people come out. Actually, I think 10 altogether, including myself. And right when we started this whole trip, God spoke to me very specifically, right? Because we're talking about hearing God's voice, you know, and I felt that we were not to ask anyone for money. You know, we need to raise about $20,000 to come to Hong Kong, all right? $2,000, 10 people, right? $20,000. You know, and so, you know, and here's, and these high school, and these guys, you know, we had a guy that was a freshman in high school. You know, he's only, I think he was only like 13 years old, you know, joining our team all the way to, you know, a few seniors. You know, and here I am, the pastor, and I said, okay, we're going to go to this trip. We need to raise $20,000. And guess what? You can't ask anyone for money. You know, these kids started getting scared. You know what I mean? And they actually started complaining, you know, during our prayer meeting. What do you mean? How can we raise all this money? I says, hey, let's try this out. I feel God speak to me. Let's just pray and see what happens. You know, do you know how much money we raised that summer? $24,000. We didn't ask anybody for money, right? We just asked God for money. You know, and God said, sure, and he gave it to us, right? I mean, God does that kind of thing. You know what happens to kids' lives, right? Their faith grows. See, there's something about hearing God's voice that increases our faith. And so we were all getting ready, and we didn't realize we actually need to get a visa, you know, or you know, to come. You know, we're not really, we don't know about those kind of things, right? And things, I have a U.S. citizen's okay, but one of our students in our church was Taiwanese. He had a Taiwanese passport, right? You know, Taiwan and China, they don't really like each other very much, right? And stuff, and so, you know, he had a difficult time getting a passport or getting a visa. You know, we were at a church service, and we're kind of sitting in the back. We're at the very huge, large American church. And while we're standing there, here's a woman that walks by us. And this is an incredible story. This woman walks by, and he turns to this guy. His name's John. She doesn't know his name is John. And he walks up to him, and he looks him straight in the eye. I mean, she's just, like, you know, walking around. You know, I mean, we're way up in the balcony. She walks up to us, and she's not, like, pastor. She's just a regular church member at this church. She walks up to John and says, "Your name is John. And the Lord's telling me that you're going to be a missionary to your own people." Right? And John is like, I mean, he's freaking out. How does she know that that's my name? And then how does she know that we're going to go to Hong Kong and China? You know, and all these things. And so we're all freaking out. But see, sometimes God's voice, when we hear God's voice, it's confirmation in our life. You know, and so, you know, what happened is, you know, we spent about 2 weeks trying to get him a visa. It was hard, man. You know, we were driving, and, you know, for me, I'm an Orange County boy, right? You know, Orange County boys do not like to go into L.A. County. We're scared of L.A. County, right? I still to this day, I'm quite scared when I go there, right, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, we have to drive into L.A., go to the Hong Kong embassy, you know, and then we go to Hong Kong embassy, and then, you know, they said, no, you can't do it, so we go to the Chinese embassy, and then we go back. I mean, we're just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, you know, and if not for that word, I guarantee I would have given up. I said, "John, it's just not in the cards for you to go, bro. You know, I think you should just stay here. Sorry, man," right? But we heard that word. I mean, just this lady out of the blue, "Your name is John." I mean, you know, there's millions of names. You know what I mean? I know John's pretty common, right, and stuff. So it's you know, it's like, but still, I mean, that's amazing. You know, "Your name is John, and you're a missionary. You're going to be a missionary to your own people." And so we knew, we just knew, right, that he needed to go. Well, we get into the deadline. We're flying out, you know, on Sunday night. You know, it's Friday. The embassy is about to close. And we need to get this thing done right away or else, you know, this guy can't go. But we're motivated by the voice of God. You know, I mean, isn't that such an incredible way to live your life when you're motivated not by circumstances, but you're motivated by God's voice in your life? You know, and this is a true story. I kid you not. You know, back then, you know, we didn't have cell phones. Well, there were cell phones, but you have to wear it on your back, right? I mean, that was a long time ago, you know? Remember the big thing used to carry, like, you know, out like this with the long antenna? That was, you know, so I'm a little older than some of you guys. Right? Some of you guys can't fathom this. And so we used to use what we call pay phones. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these lying around, but we used to use these pay phones all the time, you know? And, you know, we're poor pastor, church guys, you know, high school kid. We have no money, you know? And so we need to call the embassy. We need to call all these things. We pull into a gas station. You know, and we need to make a phone call. We have no money. And I heard God say, "Go to the phone." And so I just went to the phone. You know, and we have no chance. We need to make this phone call. The embassy's closing. I kid you not, I grabbed the phone, right? And 25 cents came out. I was like, wow, I got the power. You know what I mean? I should go to an ATM machine and do something. And so literally, I grabbed this thing and a quarter came out. And so I made the call, right? And so we go to the Hong Kong embassy. We go to the embassy. Now we got to call the Chinese consulate to take care of, because we're also going to China and we needed to take care of this thing. I do the same thing. We have no money. We need to call. I walk over to the phone, right? And this time the money didn't come out. The money was inside the change thing already. I pulled it out another quarter. We make another call. This is what we call a miracle. You know what I mean? You know, in the book of Acts, I'm going to preach this in a few weeks. In the book of Acts, it says that Paul was doing extraordinary miracles, right? If you read that really quickly, you'll miss out on what he's saying. Luke is saying that Paul did extraordinary miracles. You know, he was talking about handkerchiefs and these things, right? So if there's extraordinary miracles, there's ordinary miracles, right? I mean, do you see? That's amazing. You know, like money coming out, that's an ordinary miracle. There's extraordinary miracles, you know, but I tell you, when you start hearing God's voice, you start walking in the miraculous. There's just something that happens. And, you know, all this, a good story. John made it. You know, we got him the visa. Everything happened. We had an incredible trip, you know, in China and in Hong Kong. And, you know, these students' lives were changed. You know, a lot of those kids that came with me, they're pastors to this day. You know, they're in ministry or serving. Some of them are getting their PhDs, you know, in clinical psychology. And, you know, and basically their whole life, they want to help people. You know, it's all out of this summer experience that we had, you know, and the discipleship and just giving yourself and to hearing God. You know, there's a sense of destiny into their life, right? And to be motivated and moved by God's voice instead of life and circumstances. You know, there's one thing that we say at church here, you know, that you know, our life, you know, we're going to be dictated, right, not by money. We're going to be dictated by vision. You know, and the things that we do as a church, it doesn't matter if the money's not there, because that's not what motivates us, right? You know, what motivates us is the vision of God. Because if it's God's vision, he'll provide the provision, right? God always works in that way. We said before, right? If it's God's will, it's God's bill. And he'll always take care of these things. You know, so here, I'll just give you, right, four, and I want to be careful not to, you know, put steps, but four kind of simple guidelines for us in hearing God's voice, right? And then afterwards, we're going to spend some time today, and we're going to hear God's voice. I told you I'm going to make you a little uncomfortable, right? But that's good. That's good stuff, okay? You guys okay with that? Amen? Amen. All right. Number one, four simple guidelines to hearing God's voice. Confess any unforgiven sin. Confess any unforgiven sin. A clean heart is necessary if you want to hear God. Turn to Psalm chapter 66. Psalm 66. Verse 18. And it says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. See, this is not just that you sin, right? But the word is, if I regard wickedness. In other words, I know that I've done something wrong, but I hold on to it. You know, I don't confess it to God. I just hold on to this. I regard it in my heart. You know, and he says, God just does not hear. Turn to Psalm 51, 17. Just go a few pages before. The sacrifices of God, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Right? So we confess any unforgiven sin. You know, you just sit and you just ask, okay, God, you know, maybe pray Psalm 139, search me and try me, O God. See if there be any hurtful thing within me and lead me in the everlasting way. And we ask God, and then we just confess our sin to the Lord. You know, God is always gracious to forgive us if we just simply confess. Another guideline, number two, we submit to his lordship. We submit to his lordship. We ask him to help you silence your own thoughts, your desires, the opinions of others, you know, which may be filling your mind, right? Even though God has, you know, given you a good mind to use, right now you want to hear the thoughts, right, of the Lord who has the best mind, right? Some of you guys that are in growing in Christ, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Right? We don't rely on our understanding. We rely on God's understanding. Right? And so this is a real simple way. We submit to his lordship. You know, and a part of being disciplined to hear God's voice is to eliminate all the other voices, right, that are clouding your mind. Number three, what do? We resist the enemy. We resist the enemy in case he's trying to deceive you at this moment, right? Use the authority that Jesus Christ has given to you to silence the voice of the enemy. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 7. It says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Isn't that great? Right? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he has to go. Right? It's a simple thing that we do in our life. You know, because I'm telling you, you know, when it comes to God's voice, there are three voices that you can actually hear in your life. You're trying to make a decision. You're trying to figure something out, right? You could either be listening to God's voice, you could be listening to your own voice, or you could be listening to the devil's voice, right? What's the difference? Well, that's the secret, right? That's how you figure this whole thing out. You know, and whatever happens, right, it's God's voice, which is his best will, right, perfect plan. There's your own voice, you know, and also when I talk about your own voice, this could be the voice of your friends, the voice of your family, you know, all the opinions, advice, and all these other things. And then the third thing, right, and this scares people to no end, it could be the devil's voice. Have you guys ever listened to the devil in your life? You know, and you realize that? Yeah, all the time. You know what I mean? All the time you realize, you know, in the whole time you thought it was God and you realize it wasn't. I mean, this happens all the time. How do you discern if it's God, if it's your own, or if it's the enemy? How do you discern that? Yeah, it's all about relationship. You know, I do this thing. It's such an easy illustration, right? Let me see. Who should I pick up? I always pick up people not looking at me, so I'll pick Linda, okay? Don't worry, Linda. I'm not going to embarrass you, okay? And so I'm going to speak to Linda, right? I'm just going to play God, okay, just for today. And I'm going to speak to Linda. This is how you discern the voice, right? Go ahead and just make a lot of noise. Go ahead. Just make a lot of noise. Okay. That was pretty pathetic, by the way. Right? Linda, did you hear what I said to you? No. Okay. Now, go ahead and make more noise than you did before. Come on. What I said? What I say? Yeah. Right? I walked up to Linda. I said, Linda, I think you're a great person. Right? What was the difference? What was the difference? It's proximity, right? You want to discern if it's the Lord, if it's your own voice or the enemy's voice. You know how you recognize it? It's relationship. You know, if you're Monica and James just got married, right? You know, if Monica calls James, you know, and calls him up, you know, he's working in China, and says, James, you're an idiot, man. I can't believe you know. And James said, no. That's not Monica. Because Monica would never say anything like that to James, right? Amen, you know? You know what I mean? I mean, she would never say anything, and you just know, no, that's not Monica. This is some other joker playing a trick or something. It's the same way. You know who God is, you know his character, you know, and you know, the voice comes, you're an idiot. You know, oh, you're so stupid, oh, you're so fat, oh, you're so ugly, you're so thin, on. You know, and you recognize, no. The Lord would never say that to me. How do you know that? Because you walk in relationship. You know what I mean? You know, my wife can call me on the phone, you know, and she just calls and she says, Sam, I'll know instantly who she is. You know, I say, oh, hi, Lisa. Because why? I spend time with her. I know what her voice sounds like. Right? It's really that simple, church. You know, it's not all these, you know, super formulas and, you know, all these things. It's simply walking in relationship with God. You're walking in relationship with God. You draw close to the Lord, you're going to hear God's voice. And it's not going to be a mystery. You know, it's not going to be, you know, something that only happens once in a while. It's going to happen all the time in your life. You know, and I will say this, right, and take this with a grain of salt. If you're having difficulty hearing God's voice, you're having difficulty in the core of your Christian experience. Let me say that again. If you're having difficulty hearing God's voice, you're having difficulty in the core of your Christian experience. Right? How else do we live? Right? How else do we move? How else do we, have our being if we don't get to hear the Lord in these things? Right? And so we resist the enemy. You know, when we're doing our little thing, you know, later on today, you know, if you sense, and this is the simplest thing you need to do, you sense, you know, there's a thought in your heart or, you know, that still small voice I'm going to talk about a little bit comes into your heart, you know, and you're not sure, you say this simple prayer, Lord, if this is not you, take it away in Jesus' name. That's what we call resist the enemy. Right? You submit to God. In other words, we're saying, God, if this is you, but this is not you, we submit to God and we resist the devil. It's really that simple, right? I mean, if you want to do God's will, you will inevitably hear his voice. It's so easy in that way. We just make it so complicated, right? You confess any unforgiven sin. You submit to his lordship. You resist the enemy. And the fourth one, this is a good one I like, expect an answer. You expect God to speak to you. Right, after asking the question that's on your mind, wait for him to answer. Expect your loving Heavenly Father to speak to you. He will. You know, a lot of us, we do okay with guideline one, right? We confess. That's no problem. Yeah, I can confess. That's good for me anyway. I can submit to his lordship. Yeah, he's Lord. I'm not, you know, so I can submit. I can resist the enemy. I don't like him anyway, right? So I'm going to resist him. You know, and then we get to this fourth one, and this is where we falter a lot. Because we don't expect that God will speak to us. We think that we're nobody in the kingdom of God, you know, or that we're not special or you know, we're just too normal, you know, and we just think, God, you know, you speak to other spiritual people. You're not going to speak to me. You know, I tell you what, man, expect God to speak to you. Why wouldn't he? I mean, why wouldn't God speak to you? You know, are you that deformed? You know what I mean? Like spiritually or emotionally? You know, are you that messed up? Of course not. You know, I mean, we're talking about God here. He's able to overcome any of these things. You know, expect God to speak to you. Remember, you know, going back to John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, right? We're his sheep. That means we get to hear his voice, right? Because there's no way we can follow him if we don't hear. There's no way that can happen. All right, so expect your loving Heavenly Father to speak to you. Turn to Psalm 69. Verse 13. Psalm 69:13. But as for me, my prayer is to thee, O God, O Lord, at an acceptable time. O God, in the greatness of thy loving kindness, answer me with thy saving truth. Right? Look at, you know, David's psalm here. He's saying, God, right? He's saying, Lord, based on your greatness, you're going to speak to me. It's not based on my spirituality. It's not based on my cleanliness. It's not based on my merit. God, you're going to speak to me. You're going to answer me because you, O God, are great. You see the difference there, right? When you don't expect God to speak to you, you're self-centered. You're focusing on yourself. David says, no, I'm not going to focus on myself. God, you're going to speak to me. You're going to answer me in your time because you, God, are great. You are so big, you can speak to little insignificant me. You are so awesome, you can speak to just normal me. See, the focus is not on me. It's not on us. The focus is on God. God, you are so great. Because you're great, you're going to speak to me. Expect the Lord to answer you. Expect him to come and minister to you. You know, and just a little caveat, right? This gift or this way, it's not used in some ways, not necessarily just for self-edification. It's not just, oh, God spoke to me. A big deal, right? When God speaks, right, it's to lift up and raise up the body of Christ. You know, it's not to be used for personal gain or worldly gain or for self-glorification. And that happens a lot. You know what I mean? You know, I've been in certain circles. I've been there, but I've heard, you know, that a lot of people, you know, there's some person that has, you know, really hears from God, you know, and so people come up and they want to hear from the Lord. You know, you walk up, you get in line, basically, and you give him some money, you know, and then he tells you something. I was like, that's like fortune telling, man. What's up with that? You know, but there's a prominent church in New York that's famous for doing this. You know, and you come up and you just, you know, and the fatter the envelope, the closer in line you get, you know. I mean, just crazy stuff. You know, but people do that kind of things. You know, they can always abuse, you know, but that's not what we're talking about. It's not about ourselves. It's not that we think, oh, man, I'm great or these things, you know. In fact, when you really recognize, you know, and you hear God, it actually makes you walk in humility. Because you just come to the realization that God is so great. He's so loving. He's so awesome. You know, and so, you know, I'll say this also, you know, you're not a better Christian if you can hear God's voice. You know, it doesn't mean that you've achieved some kind of level in your spirituality. Oh, I can check this off now. I hear God's voice, you know. I must attain some kind of level of spirituality. That's not the case at all. You know, I mean, all this is done by God's grace. What it does mean that you have submitted to Him, right? But that's really not by our merit that much anyway. You know, and so, you know, don't get a big head through all this thing. You know, and man, I tell you, it's encouraging, right, to hear God for other people. There's just something about that. You know, and as you pray for others and you care for others and you want to minister to other people, God will tell you what's going on in people's lives. He'll give you words of wisdom, words of comfort, you know, that will really encourage that person. God's just in the business of blessing His people. Right? And He's in the business of blessing His people through other people. So He's going to use you. God's going to use many of you today. I'm serious. God's going to use many of you today. God's going to speak through your life today in ways that you thought were just incredible, that you never fathomed these things. And all I'm saying is give God a chance. Huh? Give God a chance. Right? Allow the Lord to speak to you in the way that He chooses. Right? Don't try to dictate to Him concerning the guidance or the method that you prefer. He's the Lord, right? You're His servant. Remember that, right? Just listen with a yielded heart, right? There's a distinct connection between yieldedness, right, and hearing God's voice. You yield to the Lord, you submit to God, and, you know, and the voice comes through very, very clearly. Let me just go through really quickly a few ways that He may speak to you, okay? Number one, He may speak to you through His word. Right? He may speak to you through His word. This can come from a daily reading, or He could guide you through a particular verse. You know, Psalm 119, 105, you know, talks about this. Right? You know, you could be reading the word of God and something just really triggers, and that's God speaking to you through His word. Right? A very common way. God also speaks in the scriptures through His audible voice. Right? Like people actually hear the audible voice of God. I've never heard God's audible voice, you know, and if I'm going to be very honest, I never want to hear God's audible voice, you know, because when God speaks audibly, He tells people to do crazy stuff, you know, and stuff. So, you know, I'm kind of chicken in that way and stuff. So, you know, well, yeah, if God wants to speak to me audibly, right, because then here's me dictating how He can choose to speak to me, right? He's God and I'm not, you know, but God speaks a lot of times through His audible voice, right? You know, Exodus 3:4, if you're taking notes. I have a few friends that have heard God speak to them audibly, you know, and they said it was just some of the most amazing experiences in their life. And, I mean, they're living today. It's not like, you know, like 1,500 years ago, right? They're, right, obviously, if they're my friends. God also speaks through dreams. You know, I'll give you some scripture, Matthew 2 or Acts 10, 10 through 16. God speaks through dreams. I've had some of the most life-changing moments of my life occur through dreams. You know, we have a lot of dreams at night, right? You know, my wife and I, we have this kind of funny interchange. You know, sometimes, you know, when I have a dream and she's really mean to me in my dream, I have a grudge all day long. I can't get over it. I don't know why. Maybe I'm immature or something. You know, and now my wife's catching on. So she had a dream and I was mean to her. And we woke up and this happened, I think, 2 mornings ago. She woke up and says, "You were mean to me in my dream. I'm upset with you." You're right. You know, obviously, that's not a dream from the Lord, right? had some bad pizza or something that night. You know what I mean? You know, when you actually, your stomach is really grumbling, you have a lot of weird dreams, right? That's actually medically proven and things. And so some dreams are from the Lord, some dreams are not, right? Some dreams are just, you know, the Chili's you ate, right? The Thai restaurant, you know, or whatever the case may be. And things, but don't get away from the fact that God does speak through dreams. And I'll tell you, I've had some of the most profound moments and happened through dreams. You know, that, I mean, that really changed my life in a lot of ways. And so he does that. God also speaks through visions, right? He gives us visions, right? Isaiah 6:1, right? He saw a vision, right, of the Lord coming from his temple. Revelation 1 is all about a vision that John received on the island of Patmos. You know, in Acts 10, right, it's a vision that Peter got regarding Cornelius, you know, and you know, the vision of the animals, you know, and all these things. So God speaks through visions a lot. You know, and a lot of times when you guys, this will probably be the mode that he speaks to us. But probably the most common way that God speaks to his people is what we call the quiet inner voice. You may have heard this called the still small voice. This is one of the most common ways that he speaks. Well, let's spend a little time on this. Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah 30, 21. And it says, "And your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left." Right? This is a still, small voice of God. Just says, "Hey, go this way. Or this is left. This is right." Right? It's that still, small voice. You know, this is how I operate on a daily basis. You know, like, you know, even figuring out, Lord, what do I speak to my church week in and week out? I got to hear God's voice. You know, I'll be honest. You know, the most difficult part about sermon preparation, right, is just figuring out what to say. You know, I mean, putting the message together is really easy, right? I mean, if you want, I can show you how to do it. I can spend 1 hour and you'll get it. It's so easy, right? But figuring out what he wants to say, that's the gift. You know what I mean? That's God's voice. You know, but, you know, because I can speak on 1,000 different things. I mean, not that I'm an expert in 1,000 things, you know, but, you know, you can speak on so many different things. But it's amazing, you know, you share a message and you get 5-10 people come up to you and says, "Man, that really hit me here, man. You know, like those, I thought you were just speaking to me, you know, and you know, I wasn't even thinking about you. You know, I was just, you know what I mean? I was just preaching a message and things. And so, but that's, I mean, that's how it operates, right? You know, what does God, what do you want to say to the people? This is how I always start my week. God, what do you want to say to the people this week? What's going to impact their lives? What is it that's going to minister to them in their hour of need and what's going on in their life? I got to hear God's voice. And it's this still, quiet, inner voice, you know, that happens in my life. You know, and you need to hear this voice, too, to operate in your life. Turn to 1 Kings. Just go a few chapters before, or a few books before. 1 Kings, chapter 19. This is a great, great passage. This is Elijah at Mount Oreb. And Elijah just, you know, conquered these guys, you know, at the Mount Carmel. And now he's in verse 9, and he's actually hiding from Jezebel. Jezebel wants to kill him because he killed all the prophets of Baal and Asherah, right? All these, you know, religious leaders of the time. And so he runs away from Jezebel. He's hiding in a cave. So let's pick this up in verse 9. "And then he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down thine altars, killed thy prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away.'" This actually passage should be very encouraging for you, right? Think about it. Here's Elijah. He does this incredible, incredible thing. I mean, you know, he calls fire down from heaven. He single-handedly challenged, you know, almost 1,000 prophets and people. And God answers him, you know, I mean, miraculously. He even pours water over it to make the miracle even more miraculous, right? This is what we call an extraordinary miracle, right, what happened to Elijah. And then Elijah, after this incredible miracle, he actually runs, right? He's running. He beats the chariot back into town. I mean, this guy, you know, if he was alive today, this guy would have every world record in the history of track and field. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, now all these incredible things happen in his life. I mean, miraculous things. And now he's afraid. He's hiding in a cave. He's suicidal, right? He's totally off his rocker, and he's complaining to God. What are you saying? God, I'm the only one here. You know, I'm the only one that's left. No one else loves you, only me. I mean, he's totally delusional. I mean, that should give you some hope. You know what I mean? And stuff. I mean, you never call fire off from heaven. You know what I mean? You never outran a chariot. You know, it'd be like outrunning a bus here or some car. You never do these things. You know, but after all these incredible things happen, what's his state? Oh, God, you know, you don't love me anymore. You know, how can you leave me this way? That's why the Lord turns and says, Elijah, what are you doing here? And this is verse 11. This gets even better. He said, go forth. This is God speaking. Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. And it came about when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. He went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And then he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. And on and on and on. See, it's the still, small voice. A lot of times we want the thunder and the lightning and the fire, you know, and all these things. But God generally comes in this still, small voice, right? Sometimes it's faint. But you know why it's faint? It's so that we can draw near to Him. You know, kind of that illustration that we gave, you know, I was dealing with Linda, right? See, God's sometimes not going to shout. God a lot of times whispers to His children. Because through the whisper, we draw close. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone that doesn't really talk that loud? You know? Or you can be rude and keep saying, what? 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 You know? Or you can just get a little closer, you know, and be nice and friendly that way, you know? God wants us to draw close to Him. Why does God want to speak to you? Because He wants to have a relationship with you. That's the bottom line, church, right? I mean, what is relationship if you can't communicate? You know what I mean? And if you can't communicate with God, maybe you don't have a relationship with God. Maybe you think you do, but you really don't. Amen? You ready to practice a little bit? This is what I want you to do, right? I want you to get into groups of three. Okay? You know, just find your way. And I would say this, right? Try to sit next to someone that you don't know. We have a lot of new faces here, so it would be very easy, okay? In other words, don't sit next to your best friend. You know what I mean? You know, don't sit next to someone that you've known your whole life or whatnot. Try to sit next to someone that you don't quite know very well. Can we do that? I can see the high blood pressure going up in everyone's... it's okay, just trust me a little bit, right? Let's make our way, you know, get in little groups of three. You can say, hello, my name is... Feel free to move the chairs around, it's okay. It doesn't matter. It could be guys and girls can mix together. That's okay. No worries. Please, no one leave the service. This is going to be fun, trust me. Okay. Hey, some of our new friends need a partner, huh? Oh, you guys got it? Okay, come on. Everyone sitting in a group of three? Anyone need a partner? You guys need one? What are you guys doing in the back, man? So once you join this group, Ed, What are you doing, Aaron? I said groups of three. Anyone not have a group of three right now? So we're just one off? Okay, you can, Aaron, you can join any group you want. So you guys have a group of four. Okay, this is what I want you to do, right? Say hello. Did you say hello? I'm so-and-so, right? We just want your name. Don't give us a life story, okay? In fact, if you really want to be prophetic, don't even tell your name. Maybe God will tell us. Too late, huh? Okay. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to pick one person. Just go ahead, just randomly pick one person. Yeah, in your group, every group, pick one person. Okay? Everyone got one? Who's that one? Raise your hand. Everyone, the one person in the group, raise your hand. Come on, be proud, be loud. Come on now. Okay, you're going to be prayed for today. You got lucky. Okay? And so, the other two people, I'm gonna pray over you, and I'm gonna lead you in those guidelines quickly. And what I want you to do, I just simply, after we finish, I want you to lay your hands, right, you know, on the person you're praying for. You know, just the shoulder or something, right? Don't rub. It's very annoying. Really, it really is, right? Just lay hands very gently, and we're gonna ask God to speak to you. It's that simple. And then when He speaks to you, you're going to pray over that person, right? Pretty simple, huh? Easy stuff, man, right? And so, because we're going to expect God to speak to us. Now, some of you, you may get different things. Some of you are very kind of artistic. You may get a lot of pictures. That's okay. You know, some of you may get a word, you know. Some of you guys maybe get a verse. Some of you guys may be feeling things emotionally. That's all part of the whole thing. And I was teaching at a retreat a while back. I used to do this often. And I was teaching these kids on hearing God. I spent like 2 hours preaching. Afterwards, I got together and we did this kind of group setting in groups of three. And it was me and I got the two smallest kids, right? You know, they actually didn't even belong to be in this camp, but they came because their brother was here or something. And so these two junior high kids, and you know how I love junior high kids. And so they were there and we prayed, and we're praying for this girl. And, you know, I spent all this time, and we finished praying, you know, and God was speaking to me, and we had a great time, and this other boy didn't say anything. And I turned to him, and I said, didn't God show you anything? You know, and he was kind of embarrassed or something, and he says, well, God just showed me a light, you know, and I swear, inside, I was getting upset. I was like, dude, I taught for 2 hours. I mean, I expended all, and you just saw light? That's it? A light? You know, and, after he said that, I turned over to the little girl, and she started crying. The little girl had actually told God, said, Lord, I don't know if you're real. If you're real, can you show me a light? And then I said, go, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry for my sins. You know what I mean? And so don't expect the earthquake, you know? Remember, it's that gentle blowing of the wind. You know, and God loves the person that you're praying for more than you do. God wants to speak to that person more than you think. You know, and He wants to use you through that. You know, obviously, we're beginning. It's going to be very raw. It's okay, right? You know, can I say this? If you get an impression or something and it's way off, do we agree that we're not going to go outside and stone you? Can you guys look into your group, you know, and say, okay, if you're wrong, we won't stone you, okay? I'm going to be spending probably by the back end of summer, we're going to spend a whole time talking about spiritual gifts. You know, and one aspect of spiritual gifts is that when you receive a gift, it doesn't come mature. It doesn't. It's something that you must develop. Hearing God's voice doesn't come mature. Right? Sometimes it's just starting, right? We're just starting this whole thing. We're starting a lifestyle right here. Okay? Does that make sense? So let's close our eyes. Together as a church, let's confess to the Lord. We just follow these guidelines, right? Real simple. Let's ask God to forgive us. If you know that there's some known sin in your life, just ask the Lord to forgive you. And just all you have to say is, Lord, would you forgive me for so-and-so or this and that? Lord, I'm sorry for this or that. Would you forgive me, God, and give me the strength not to do this or that anymore? And after you confess, let's submit to God. And as we submit, we say, God, we just want your will. We just want your will, God. Lord, I throw aside my thoughts and my plans, and I just want yours and yours alone, Lord. So we submit. And then we resist the enemy. We say, enemy, we resist you, and you must flee. You have no hold here in this church and in our lives because we've already confessed. And now, expect God to speak to you. And he will. A couple guidelines. When you feel like you receive something, say it in a way, right? You don't say, thus saith the Lord, you know. Just say, I really sense God saying this, and on it, right? So then if it's right, God gets the glory. If it's wrong, you get the blame. Okay? It's really that simple. If you, as you're praying for someone and you get some thought and you're quite unsure, pray that prayer. Lord, if this is not from you, take it away in Jesus' name. So Lord, we just give you this time right now, God. We know that you love each one of us so much and you want to speak to each one of us, God. Or because you love us, because you are a great God. Lord, it has hardly anything to do with us. Well, you want partnership. And so would you take us today and would you, Lord, give us words of wisdom, God, and words of knowledge. Lord, words of encouragement, words of comfort and consolation. Words to build up, God, for our friends that we're praying for today. Would you touch them through our prayers? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't you lay hands on that person? If you're really scared about this, don't worry. You can choose not to do it. You know, I can't force anyone, right? So no worries, right? But let's try. I mean, just try. It doesn't hurt to try, right? So let's pick someone and let's lay hands and let's just wait on the Lord. And as you sense that you receive something, just pray over that person, whatever you think it is. A lot of times it happens very quickly. Right? You feel like you got something, go ahead and just pray over that person. Maybe as you're praying, you got the word anxiety. Then just simply pray, Lord, would you help my friend during this anxious time? Right? And you just redeem what you heard. Okay? I'm going to be quiet from now on.